here you were above middle class means you had money.
Right.
But do you remember going downtown Tulsa?
Yes. First of all, I really did not understand the full effects of segregation until I was about 13 years old and living out in the country. You could get everything you needed within the black community at that time, except I don't know whether I know these stories as experiencing them and understanding them at the time or whether or not my mother shared them later. But my mother, who was very fair, which said could pass white as did my grandfather, I remember going into Brown Duncan's store, Brown Duncan's or Vanderbilt's, I can't remember which.
And what was Brown Duncan?
It was a store where you bought clothes.
Department store?
Department store. But I don't know what a library.
You're not sure which store it was.
Yeah. But my mother wanted to try on a hat. When they saw these children, they would not allow her to try a hat on. And my mother could have gone in without us, but she would not do that. When I applied to go to Notre Dame University at the suggestion of my aunt, Leo, who was the administrative assistant, Natalie Stevenson, my mother, through all my grades and certificates of recognition, to the back door of Joe LaFortune's house. Joe LaFortune was a big man at Notre Dame, having received an education there. Because he got a free education, he was very generous years later to that university. Mother never said that she was required to come to the back door, but she apparently knew one of the servants of LaFortune. So I'm not suggesting or implying that this was required of her to be relegated to the back door. I just remember she said that's where she went. Then, of course, we got an audience with LaFortune, and he gave me a letter of recommendation to Notre Dame, for which I'm grateful.
He's the father, of course, of Bob LaFortune, who was the mayor of our city. And then wasn't turned around again, because didn't you then write a letter of recommendation?
Yes, I did. Interestingly enough, the former mayor,
Bill LaFortune.
Bill LaFortune's daughter wanted to go to Notre Dame. And he asked me if I would write a letter of recommendation, which, of course, unqualifiedly would I do so, and we felt privileged to be able to do so.
Your experience at Notre Dame, that was a good experience for you?
Wonderful experience. Because of my years of what I thought was not adequate in my secondary school years, I never felt as informed or educated as I saw my white counterparts at Central were. One of the areas that I was weak in was English, I thought, and composition, writing. But I get admitted to Notre Dame. I'm able to get the requisite entry. But I still had a thirst for writing better. So I get to Notre Dame, and I do a lot of improvement there. Shortly thereafter, there were probably 5,000 students at Notre Dame at the time, not much larger than today even. And I thought there were about 10 African-Americans there at the time. This would have been 1957. But I since have been told by Ron Gregory, the brother of Dick Gregory, who was a year ahead of me then. There may have been as many as 20 of us, I don't recall. And perhaps 10, maybe 15 may have been graduate students, and probably only 5 of us undergraduate students at the time.
Did you feel accepted there? Was there
I'd come
prejudice?
Well, if it was, it was oblivious, because keep in mind, I was sheltered in my childhood up until 13, and I'll tell you about that story, but no, I never. Then, of course, I was in an integrated situation there in Springfield, Illinois. So I never felt the stigma of being black. That never was a preoccupation of mine. I did have it occur to me traveling through Missouri once as a college student. And it had happened to me in Tulsa when I was younger, when I was told to get to the back of the bus. At that time, the transportation into Tulsa from 51st and Mingo, one of the buses that go interstate would come by and stop and pick up people to take them on into Tulsa. And I remember having to come into Tulsa to my dad's place. I got on this bus, and I sat in the center. There was an older black couple in the back, and I sat sort of center. And this lady, I may be 2 miles down the road, and I see her lean forward close enough to the driver. And then the driver says something to the effect, get to the back of the bus. I think I knew at that time what he meant, so I was aware of the custom. But I pretended I didn't hear. So he said, get to the back of the bus. To this day, I regret this. I acceded to his request rather than demanding I get off. But by that time, I was probably maybe 13 miles away from Tulsa. I didn't have the intestinal fortitude to say, let me off this bus. Because by that time, my dad could have bought the bus, you know.
So is that the incident at 13 that you're talking about?
I was about 13 years old. And the second time that that happened was I rode my horse up to 51st and Memorial, right across from the Memorial Park Cemetery, right about a half block south of Memorial. There was a little sideway hamburger place. So I rode my horse up, got off of it, and went in to order a hamburger, and they bagged it for me. I said, "All you hear." I think I walked out on that occasion without taking the hamburger, but those are the only two instances in Oklahoma. Later, when I was in Missouri, in between trains to come back to Tulsa or to go to South Bend, I'm decked out in a tweed suit with one of the hats, style hats, and a vest. I mean, I'm dressed to the T, my shoes are shined, you know. I'm famished. We get into St. Louis in the wee hours of the morning. I'm famished. Everything's closed. And at that time, the train station, everything was closed down where you could eat there with impunity. When I walked out a few blocks from the train station, I found this hamburger place. It was Horseshoe. I went in. The only one person was in there, and that was the cook. I ordered this hamburger and a drink. I'm sitting there by myself, and he puts in the sack. I said, "No, how do you eat it here?" It's about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. I said, "I'm sorry, I can't. My boss won't let me." I said, "What do you mean? I don't see anybody here. I can't. I'm famished." So I take the hamburger and leave the drink. And I eat it outside. And I then walk across the street to deposit the debris into a trash can rather than throwing it on the sidewalk, which I thought was the appropriate thing to do. Well, I'm still thirsty. So I walk another block into a smaller establishment. When I walk in, there's a cop and a couple of patrons, and the waitress, "I want our drink." Well, at that point, she said, "They'll cap it." I said, "No, that's all right. I will drink it." "No, you can't." So I just leave the drink and walk on back to the station. Those are the only instances that I have experienced the racism.
How old were you then?
I was in college. I was a sophomore probably at Notre Dame.
Did this anger you? Was it something that you thought, "We need to correct this," or were you passive about it and just decided, "I need to live my life and not worry about that"?
I was certainly angry about it, but not to the extent that I harbored any kind of ill will. It's just like you're rebuffed or slighted, and you just go on about your business. You don't dwell on it. That's dwelling on a negative. You don't get bitter, you get better. So it was just like you get knocked down or you get tackled, and you get up and you go on. You don't preoccupy yourself with that.
Yeah.
The only time that I exercised racism or felt like it was on the day that Jack Kennedy was assassinated. At that time, I was in law school, and I was working for Raymond David Graham, a district judge, as a mental clerk. Without knowing any facts surrounding Kennedy's assassination, I was leaving a lecture at the law school. I was in night school, but on this occasion, there was some activity in the daytime during the lunch hour, some speaker, I don't have any independent recollection of who. When I got into my car to go back to the courthouse, it came across that Jack Kennedy was assassinated. That hit me like a death nail into my heart. And immediately, without knowing, I assumed somebody white did it. And when I hit that courthouse door, I refused to look anybody white. Keep in mind that my boss is white. And I had never felt any kind of ill will ever. Mm-hmm. But I had a disdain and a hatred for what I thought to be somebody white killing a good man. Mm-hmm. Why the good die young kind of thing. Because Jack Kennedy epitomized all what I thought was good about life, in a sense. He was successful. He was handsome. He was articulate. He inspired me and many others. At Notre Dame, they would have mock presidential elections. And I remember how involved people were. But Jack Kennedy inspired a younger generation, my generation particularly. That lasted, though, that hate, if you will, lasted probably not more than 2.5 hours, and then it dissipated, you know, particularly since I spent the weekend watching the news coverage and even witnessed, as many Americans did, the assassination of Kennedy's assassin.